One of the greatest things about our God is that He is a merciful God. And mercy is something you learn to depend upon the older you get as a Christian. As you live the Christian life, you will learn soon enough, if you're faithful, that you are not perfect without sin. And mercy becomes very valuable. I remember an elder in the church years ago who used to always end his prayers not with "forgive us of our many sins" or "forgive us of sin." He would always say, "please have mercy upon us." Now I want you to think about that. Paul writes about mercy over and over again, perhaps as an individual that had obtained great mercy, and emphasizes that over and over through his writings. He says in 2 Timothy 1:18, "May the Lord grant that he obtain mercy from him on that day." In Titus 3, verse 5, he says, "God saved us," and here it is, "not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy." Now, Ephesians 2, verse 4 says this. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us." The Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 that God is not willing that any should perish. God is willing that all men would be saved, should be saved. Jesus said this, very interesting passage in John 7:17, "giving you and I hope and yet mercy." Listen to it, John 7:17. "If any man will do his will," now notice the condition, "if any man will do his will," that's the Father's will, Jesus says, "he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." That passage is a passage of mercy because it says that God gives us the opportunity to do his will. And to, as we do what he says, can't change it up, but as you do what he says, you will learn of the doctrine, you will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I just speak as a mere mortal man. But the reality is, as you and I know as children of God, that as we have done the will of God, it has accomplished exactly what Jesus said. We have known, we have come to be aware that this is the truth. But here's the mercy point. When you first start this as a young babe in Christ, God knows that. A God who is rich in mercy. And he's just asking. He's pleading. He's commanding because he is the Father, to do my will. And as you do it, I assure you, you will know the truth. Now look at John 8. Another passage of progression, if you will. Truth isn't something that we're born with. That is the understanding of all knowledge of the gospel. But look at what Jesus says in John 8, 31 and 32, a passage of mercy. He says, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." And then the next passage says, similarly to John 7:17, "and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The question then is are we doing the will of God? Are we abiding in his will so that we are knowing, learning? You see, God's not willing that any should perish. But you're not going to know if you don't do, if you don't try. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 2 for a moment as I summarize what I'm trying to emphasize. And John gives us these absolute type black and white passages, these logical affirmations, if you will. And look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Talking about the love of God. But he says here, but whoso keepeth his word. Now he's talking about love. In him verily is the love of God perfected. That's the idea of growth. But you see there, it says, if you keep his word. That's why he's saying in chapter 1 of this book, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with God. The blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse you because that light will expose darkness and you'll confess your faults. You see, the Word of God will reveal that and you'll see that and you'll say, I got to stop that behavior. That's not good. Your brother or sister might come up to you and say, hey, gently and mercifully, kindly. Mercy means kindness, right? Hey, what you're doing, you might want to consider what you're doing. That's not really the right thing to do, right? That's mercy. That's love. And so he says here of us, if we will keep his word, the love of God will be perfected in us. And hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And he says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. Now I want to drop down to verse 13 and show you here something practical. In practical application of this. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. This is that group of older, maybe more mature Christians that has been walking, has been doing the will of God, knows it. And then he says there, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. You repented, you young men, you young ones. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. He's been taught to you. I have written unto you, fathers, verse 14, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And here it is. Here is what he says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he tells us what's in the world. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's the three avenues of temptation to sin. The lust of the flesh screams for things. God built this body. He knew exactly what he was doing. We are wonderfully and marvelously made, the Bible says. But unfortunately, people that don't do his will often will do their own fleshly desires and will and end up in trouble. Because the lust of the flesh will scream out for something. The lust of the eyes, I see it, I desire it, I want it, but wait a second. Wait a second, is it mine? Is it authorized? Can I have that? When God told Eve in the very beginning, thou shalt not eat of that tree. What did she do when she saw it? She said, probably tastes good. But wait a second. Do his will and you'll learn. You see there? And then he says the pride of life. And this is a tough one. Our arrogance, our pride, our inability to humble ourselves. But here's the point. It is not of the Father. It is of the world. And here's what we have to know. Verse 17. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God. You remember John 7:17? If any man willeth to do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak of the Father. That's what he says right there. That he that doeth the will of God abideth for ever. Now, our God is merciful. And here's what I want to say as I offer the invitation. He knows what you know and don't know. He knows your academic level of expertise, and He knows how intellectually smart you are. He knows also, though, your every lust. He knows all of us perfectly. And He's still offering the same thing today as He did then. If you'll just hear me, hear my word, listen to it, believe it, make up your mind to repent of yourself, your sins, repent of your selfish ways, confess. Again, that's 1 John 1:5 right there in the context. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, obedient. An action that will save your soul, because Jesus' blood is in that is where that water is. By faith you access that, and God will redeem you. And you've done something heavenly right there is when you start, John 7:17, to do His will. And He says, now stick with it. And if you'll stick with it, I'm a merciful God. I know that you don't know all things. I know that Satan's out there, and I know he's going to try to get you now harder than ever. Because he had you earlier. Now he doesn't have you. I know that God says, I'm merciful, I'm rich in mercy. I know that, but stick with me. Love not the world. Your affection cannot be attuned to this world, but to heaven. Colossians 3:1 and following. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of glory. And I am merciful. And if you'll stick with me and walk with me, abide in my words, then you will know of the doctrine. And I will save you. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will continue to set you free. I love the truth. I love knowing the truth. Don't you? If you're a faithful child of God. But you got to stick with it, don't you? And that's what the Bible teaches. Our God is rich in mercy. He wants to save us. And He'll keep on saving us if we keep on being faithful. But if you're not a child of God, that mercy's still crying out. God's saying, I'm merciful. And He's asking you, as I'm asking you, to make up your mind to follow Him and do His will and let Him save you and stick with Him. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the invitation of the Lord. It's not mine, it's His. If you're willing to repent of your sins because your mind is made up, confess Him before men publicly, and be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to His body, the church. There's not a bunch of churches. He's going to add you to His church. The church that He came to bleed and die for. And you'll rise to walk in a newness of life. And there it is. That newness of life is governed by His will. By doing His will. You'll know. You'll know. And you'll smile. And you'll cry. But you'll have the hope and peace that passeth all understanding, because you keep on keeping on in that will. And I want you to know that. So if you need to respond to the invitation as a child of God, if we can pray for you, if you need the prayers of the congregation, now's your opportunity. As together we stand and we sing, won't you come?